Hello and welcome to Business Beat. I'm Nick Adams. Coming up later in the show, farmers are pushing for a state-sanctioned work program benefiting illegal immigrants. But first, a Fulton developer plans to break ground on a biodiesel factory this spring. The project's been in the works for 5 years. As KBIA's Charles Minshew explains, it could be an economic boom for Callaway County.
In 2007, developer Boyd Ware proposed the construction of a biodiesel production plant in Fulton. Ware says the economy and new technology delayed those plans. However, the expectations of the plant are growing along with the projected number of jobs it will create. Ware says there's more to this project than the plant in Fulton and that it's now an international venture.
We came, what started out as a simple project for us kind of ended up becoming an industry. The biggest problem was that feedstock, the actual product that you use to convert to biodiesel, the price of it was going through the roof, and so consequently was making the plants not profitable. And so we very quickly realized that we were going to have to develop our own feedstock.
Ware says he found that alternative in the Jatropha plant. Farmers will grow it on plantations south of the border, in Mexico. After initial processing, the food stock will travel to Fulton by train. Ware says his company can produce fuel at half the price of companies that use soybeans or corn. He cites the high price of those fuels as one reason similar factories fail.
If we would have created and built the facility that we first started with, right away, we would have been like around 90% of the other facilities around the country and we would have failed.
Fulton Mayor Leroy Benton took office in April, well after the project began. He says the city council hears updates from Ware every few months.
The city of Fulton has been working with Mr. Ware since 2007 on this project and, of course, encouraging him and working with him in any way that we can possibly support him.
While Ware has the support of the city, he says the factory will support Fulton as well.
Once we get up to full production, it's going to be a 30-million-gallon facility. We'll be pumping into sales, about $120 million a year.
That's much higher than the initial production estimate of 5 million gallons in 2007. Ware says he anticipates the factory and company headquarters will need about 40 employees. For KBIA News, I'm Charles Minshew.
An unlikely coalition of farmers, businesses, and social advocates is pushing for a law in Kansas that would create a state-sanctioned work program benefiting illegal immigrants. Their fiercest opponent? The Kansas politician who wrote Arizona's tough immigration law. Harvest Poet Media's Peggy Lowe reports.
It's a long way from forget-me-not farms to the Kansas State Capitol.
Thank you, members. I will close the hearing on Senate Bill 399.
But T.J. Curtis drove the 300 miles because he needs more workers for his family's dairy farm in the far western part of the state. Curtis's family moved their operation to Kansas from New Mexico a few years ago and now wants to hire another 75 people. So he's here to lobby for a bill that sets up a state program that would help him in hiring undocumented workers who could legally stay in Kansas.
We come to Kansas looking for opportunity for growth and expansion and processing facilities in southwest Kansas. And so we came here looking for opportunity. And for that opportunity, we need good, reliable help and workers.
Curtis is not alone. Kansas feedlot farm and dairy companies are so desperate for workers that State Ag Secretary Dale Rodman, a Republican, asked the U.S. Department of Homeland Security for a waiver that would allow companies to hire illegal immigrants. That effort's going nowhere. So a group called the Kansas Business Coalition proposed another option. The coalition's program would connect participating companies with undocumented workers who have been in Kansas at least 5 years and have a clean record, helping them get work authorizations. Essentially, the state steps forward to vouch for an immigrant's application to the federal government to become a legal resident.
The reality is when a state stands forward and makes the statement, it's a louder statement than an individual or a private group. And it sends the message that Kansas is not interested in deportation policies. We're interested in work policies.
That's Allie Devine, the coalition's leader. She's a former state agriculture secretary and self-described lifelong Republican who worked in the first Bush administration. She and others have fought off Arizona-style bills in the past because she says the Hispanic population in Kansas is much different than that border state.
These are people that we know in small towns. They're not they're not foreigners. They are people. They've been our friends. They've been in with our children in school. We've known them.
Case in point, Rodolfo Torres. Across town from the state capitol, Torres is attending a tutoring session, helping his 8-year-old daughter Mariela with her math assignment. The two of them are at Amistad Ife, Fellowship in Faith, a ministry of the Kansas Area United Methodist Church. Torres has been in Topeka for 19 years, has his citizenship, and works at a local food processing plant. He's thought about moving to other states, but he says he stays here because there are so many jobs.
A lot of working in Kansas, more. Talk to the boss, and he say, come back tomorrow.
Fighting the coalition is another Republican, Chris Kobach, the Kansas Secretary of State who helped write the Arizona law. He says it's a political fantasy to think that Republicans will support the coalition's plan.
I think the very fact that it was proposed has made a lot of people, you know, sit up and take notice and say, wow, this is Kansas. They're proposing something like that. We expect this in California, but not in Kansas. And that is certainly surprising that they would even propose it. But I have to believe that the proponents of this bill realize it's dead on arrival. It just is not going to pass the Kansas House.
Kobach also doesn't buy the pleas of the agribusiness leaders who say they are in dire need of workers. That doesn't fly in a state where farming is done in row crops, he says, and harvested by machines.
I hate to answer with the old adage about comparing apples and oranges, but to a certain extent, the crops rotting in the field argument is comparing maybe not apples to oranges, but oranges to soybeans.
As it stands, the bill is pending in committee, and the state GOP faces a tough internal battle over immigration policy in a state where Republicans control both the House and Senate. So dairy farmers like T.J. Curtis will have to continue looking hard for workers to run Forget-Me-Not Farms. Peggy Lowe, Harvest Public Media.
Missouri unemployment decreased to 7.4% in February, according to a Missouri Department of Economics report released earlier this week. The current national unemployment rate was 8.3% in February. 2,300 new jobs were added last month, dropping the unemployment rate by 0.1%. Missouri added over 21,000 jobs in January, which is 700 more than what was initially reported by the DED. Since August of 2009, Missouri's unemployment rate has fallen 2.3% after peaking at 9.7%. Thanks for listening to Business Beat. I'm Nick Adams.